Heather Watson, I am pretty sad about this match because earlier on in the week, I don't know if you remember, perhaps I should pretend that didn't happen, but I said that Heather Watson was going to be the one to watch of the Brits. She, I thought, was going to go all the way based on her performance against you know who, Serena Williams, last year when she got within 2 points of beating the multi Grand Slam champion. But unfortunately, today it was just. If I'm honest, I just don't know what happened in the second set. And she did fight back. She put in a good performance. She showed what she could do in the third. But Annika Beck was just bested her. I mean, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Beck is actually world ranked 44, so she's actually 6 places above Heather Watson. But it's just the championships have been a place where Heather has performed so well in the past. It was a real
shame. Well, Kate,
shame.
You were absolutely right. It was the game to watch. I mean, it was absolutely great drama.
It's the most British of losses, isn't it, though? To come from 4-1 down in that third set, to win 3 straight, to break back when it looked like she was going to lose, to then have 3 match points and still lose it. It couldn't have been a more British performance on the most British stage.
Well, I would say a British performance on the British stage would surely be our man, Marcus Willis, and his noble defeat to Roger Federer. Let's talk about Dan Evans. Why not praise some of the extraordinary work that the Brits have actually been doing over the last few days? Dan Evans from Birmingham. He's climbed 662 places to world ranking of 92 earlier and now 95 at the moment. And the Davis Cup captain, Leon Smith, challenged him to break into the top 30. And with his defeat of world ranked number 33, Alexander Dolgopolov, he's certainly proving that he's up there.
Yeah, 3 straight sets. How impressive was it?
He's an outstanding performer, and the point about his slice backhand that he can dig out from almost anywhere on the court is that it's a real weapon, especially on the fast grass at the moment. Funny old weather, a little bit slick on the court. It was very helpful to him, and he looked mentally tough, which, of course, at a place like Wimbledon, as a British player, that's basically your most important attribute.
Looking at it, yesterday it was a pretty straightforward day. The day before was a pretty straightforward day in terms of the seeds, because, of course, virtually nobody played yesterday. Of course, nothing happened yesterday. Looking at the ladies today, Sara Errani, the number 20 seed, beaten in straight sets, and Mladenovic, the number 31 seed, has gone as well. Are we starting to now get to that point of the tournament where it starts to get a little bit more tricky? You know, you get a couple of games in and actually people are now hitting their form.
I think that's a fair point. It has certainly been an odd old day in terms of seeds falling. I thought we were about to report on Julien Beneteau beating Kei Nishikori. I really thought at the start of that match, because Beneteau, that's the match up on centre that you were mentioning earlier, Maka. Beneteau is actually an outstanding doubles player. And he was pulling out all his shots in the first set, went up 6-4. And Nishikori has been injured recently. So I thought that that might be yet another one. And I was about to come in and say, this is the day of the seeds dropping like flies. But let's hope it's not too much, because you know who we have up next on centre.
Well, exactly. He didn't have to worry about all the problems yesterday with the weather. He can just go about his business. What are we expecting from Andy? I mean, this is a guy who's actually given him a problem in the past. But Andy Murray is now a much changed man and a much changed player.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Up against Yensun Liu of Taiwan. His highest world ranking was number 33. That's a couple of years back. And he has actually been to the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. He also has been injured. He's just back after an elbow injury. And he's just been playing on the challengers. He's won back-to-back championships, the Aegon Ilkley Trophy and before that, Aegon Surbiton Trophy. So he's in winning ways, as they say. And he knows how to play at Wimbledon, because that quarterfinal performance is his best ever Grand Slam performance. Of course, I'm not sure how it compares to Andy Murray's gongs, the old 2012 Olympic and US Open champion and 2013 Wimbledon champion.
I think Liu actually beat Murray in, was it the Beijing Olympics?
It was in Beijing, yeah. Their head-to-head is 3-1. So 3 out of 4 times Murray's seen him off, no problem.
Andy Murray should be in a good mood today, because I think I saw on social media Jimmy Carr drove him to SW19 today, which is a bizarre turn of events.
That's extraordinary. That's when you start to think that everyone you've heard of in the media just hangs out together in a big room.
Well, at Queen's, he was hanging out with David Beckham as well, and he had a knock-up with, Roman who wants to be a tennis player? And he had a knock-up with him. So, you know, obviously for Andy Murray, he's just hitting those new ridiculous heights.
He's just, he's the man to be seen with. I mean, come on. He's just to be the guy who broke the duck of 77 years and won the championships. This is his tournament.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a conversation with him. That's the problem.
But, do you know what?
Oh, Will. He's a lovely man.
But I tell you what, this shows me, actually. This shows me that Andy Murray is in a way different place than where he's been recently. You know, he is a very highly strung guy, if you pardon the pun with tennis rackets, obviously. But, you know, he's a man who is very sensitive. He gets very tightly and emotionally wound up. He's being driven to work today by a comedian. That tells me Andy Murray is in a good place mentally. He feels in a good place about this match. And that has got to be a good thing if he's got this new, I don't want to call it a zen approach, because let's not go too far about it, but it does bode well, doesn't it, Kate?
If he's feeling comfortable on the tennis court, on the beautiful All England turf, then I can't see much that's going to stop him before the final with Novak Djokovic. Now, dangerous words to say. And of course, he did, when he was defending his championship, get knocked out in that extremely odd performance against a man who's on court at the moment, Dimitrov, doing pretty well against Gilles Simon. But yeah, I think he could win.
Now, obviously, Murray were expecting to come through, which will work the crowd up into it. It's quite a nice little frenzy for Johanna Konta to go on afterwards. And that just might keep the momentum going there as well.
Johanna Konta against Eugenie Bouchard is going to be an extremely exciting match, I hope, unless Eugenie Bouchard puts in some of the sort of performances we were seeing in 2015. I don't know if you remember, she of course is a finalist here. She's currently world number 48, and she, in 2014, she got to back-to-back semi-finals at the Australian Open and then at the French Open, and then was runner-up at Wimbledon to Petra Kvitova, the first Canadian. She's only 22 now, so she was 20 back then, first Canadian ever to make a Wimbledon final. And then it got to be too much, really. She actually developed a bit of an eating disorder. The fame, the constant attention that she had on her, she stopped performing. She lost in the first round 7 times in 2015. And now she's back. She's had some good results, some fair results, let's say, in the run-up to Wimbledon. And she's just beaten Magdalena Rybarikova in straight sets, which is a good performance. But she talked a bit after the match, because it was moved onto centre court. She talks about that feeling coming out onto centre like she did at the final of Wimbledon in 2014 and all of the emotions flooding back. So I can only imagine what impact that will have on her the second time. At least she's had a warm-up. Johanna Konta, such an outstanding player. I was concerned that she might be facing a round one knockout against Monica Puig, who's done so well just recently at Queen's, but she looked comfortable. And yeah, I would like to see that match going all the way, obviously with an eventual Konta win. But it'll be interesting to see what Bouchard's form is looking like now.
The other interesting one for me this afternoon will be Garbi Muguruza, the number 2 seed. And of course, realistically, she looks the best option if Serena Williams can be beaten in this tournament. But she's, of course, waiting for the Dimitrov-Simon game to finish. They started earlier on, having continued overnight. They are still going and are only in the fourth set at the moment. So Muguruza might have a bit of a wait for her match, but you would expect the number 2 seed to come through that.
Yeah, again, I'm a little uncertain about Muguruza. I could see her in her first round match. She faced Camila Giorgi. There was this whole Spain-Italy matchup reflected in the Euros, and it went to 3 sets. And there's this fact about first-time Grand Slam champions. So Muguruza's coming into this game as French Open champion. She's also been to the final at Wimbledon. But she basically, the record is that of the last 8 first-time women's Grand Slam champions, none of them have got past the fourth round at their next Grand Slam. So I think she's playing outstandingly, but I'd be interested to see what impact it has, her playing as this possibly champion elect